Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And when they went away and they found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it, and some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' And they told him what Jesus had said, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, and he stayed home with his mother. And his father returned from church holding one of the palm branches. And the little boy was curious and said, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" And he said, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him, so we took the palm branches home today." The little boy said, "The only Sunday I miss is when Jesus shows up?" Today's story is one in which we're all familiar. The donkey, the palm, the branches, Jesus entering into Jerusalem, the joyous celebration. When I used to hear the story before, I always thought about the donkey for some reason. Anybody else out there kind of, when you hear the donkey, that's some kind of, you know, Jesus riding and the palms and things is interesting, but a donkey, right? We don't see too many donkeys in the scriptures. There's only a few stories about donkeys. Probably the most famous was Balaam's donkey in the Hebrew scriptures, where if you haven't read this one, the donkey just starts talking to the people. There's stuff like that in the Bible. Watch out. You know, talking donkey. And maybe some of you out there are interested as well in donkeys. And I found a webpage, of course, called BibleDonkeys.com. Don't Google it right now if I see any phones out there. But there is one called BibleDonkeys.com, and it will tell you everything you've ever wanted to know, and maybe more, about donkeys in the Bible. Now don't Google it right now. But in our story today, and I'm not sure about you, but I always imagined a couple of the disciples, they're sneaking into a village and they're trying to quietly borrow a donkey for Jesus to ride. And when they do get caught, apparently the fact that Jesus is going to ride it, that Jesus needs it, was a good enough excuse for the people that were there. And I'm not sure about you, but I always thought that Jesus chose a donkey so that he would appear peaceful, like meek, mild, as he entered Jerusalem. And I'm not sure if it was animated movies or paintings or something from my picture Bible, but I see Jesus on the donkey riding high, a majestic donkey, if such a beast exists. But if you read a few verses past where the story ends, and we do find it in Mark, that Mark placed the story of the clearing or cleansing of the temple on the same day. If you recall in the story, Jesus drove people out of the temple, overturned the tables, the money changers, and made a big mess of the place. So while Jesus certainly is known for being peacemaker, it's hard to think of him as meek and mild as the portrayal of the story has. And if we look at the pictures of this event, it's misleading. Clarence Jordan, the great theologian and creator of the Koinonia Farm in Georgia, kind of made a joke about it, saying, think about how hard it is to ride a donkey in general. What about riding a donkey that no one has ever ridden before? You have to be pretty strong, pretty certain, pretty tough to ride. Anybody ridden a donkey? Anybody do donkey basketball or anything like that? Anybody spend any time with donkeys? They do whatever they want. You want to talk about any kind of animal, donkeys are just kind of doing their own thing. If you see donkey basketball, that's the best part about donkey basketball is that they go wherever they want to. But Jesus wasn't those things of meek, mild, weak, and passive. He was sure, confident. So I wanted to seek out a different perspective on why the donkey was chosen. And this is a reference to Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And this king over time was interpreted to be the Messiah king, the one that would sit on David's throne. So if that's the case in this story, the donkey, the palms, all the entrance into the city was Jesus' way of engaging in kind of a political act. All around the world, people, you know, it's kind of like almost street theater, where all around the world, people use street theater to kind of come at the status quo. You may have seen, you know, demonstrations where people are doing creative kind of things, and there's a message that they're trying to get across. But they can also be done to be prophetic, to present an alternate reality to what's happening. And on that day, Jesus was preparing to enter the city. Throngs of people were waiting. They had heard about who he was, and the word had spread that this is the Messiah. This is the one who's going to change things. This is the king who's going to sit on David's throne. This is the one that we've been waiting for. They heard of this amazing teacher, this powerful man who's coming into the city, and their hopes started to get built up. Their desires, they'd been under the thumb of the Romans for so long that this was the moment that they'd all been waiting for. And it's easy to understand why they wanted liberation from their Roman rulers. It's easy to understand why they were hoping for the coming of this Messiah. They had seen how many Roman kings and Greek before them and Egyptians and military kings. They'd seen parades before. They'd seen kings riding into a town triumphantly in victory. And usually, you know, they would be on a white stallion. The Romans would ride in on a beautiful big white horse, right? And I'm sure there's lots of movies where that happens. And, you know, a mighty king would bring soldiers with them, and they'd have a march of all the military that are coming through. Can you envision that? Everyone see that in their mind, where the general is out in front, and all the parade is coming behind, and they've just had a great victory, and everyone's celebrating the king who is arriving. That's the king that the people that were in the town wanted. A powerful king who would take the throne, the king of the Jews. And yet, instead of satisfying the desires of the crowd, Jesus engages in this act, and he's kind of spinning the narrative. He's taking it to a different place. The Palm Sunday was a kind of a parody of this Roman parade. There was no stallion for the Messiah, this great king. What was he on? A donkey, on loan. He wasn't even like he owned the donkey. He was borrowed. This king didn't even have a donkey. Jesus, you know, there was no army for this Messiah, just a ragtag bunch of unemployed fishermen, an errant tax collector, some vaguely disreputable women. And this Messiah was no vanquisher of the Romans. He was just a rabbi. He was just a teacher from a no place, Galilee. No famous father, the son of a carpenter. But through this act, through this humble entrance, Jesus alerts the people that I'm not going to be the Messiah that you're looking for. He is bringing freedom. He's bringing liberation. He's bringing freedom. It's not the political liberation that they were hoping for. And that's what he brings us today. That's what brings us to this moment on this Palm Sunday. As they're laying down their palms, as they're laying down their cloaks before Jesus, the ones who would also have to lay down their ideas of who Jesus was and what that purpose was in their life. And we're still called to that this very day. Because it's no secret that Christians, we disagree sometimes. We have different ideas of who Jesus is and was and what it is that he cares about or is about. But like the ones on that Palm Sunday, it's easy for us to kind of be sidetracked by our own ideas of God. It's scary how easy it is for us to allow our vision of God to become very, very narrow. We don't allow ourselves to realize that God is bigger, grander than the things that we can imagine. Some of us may find ourselves in the crowd today yelling and cheering, waving our palm branches as Jesus the Christ enters Jerusalem. We might be excited that the moment of liberation has come, and yet the donkey approaches and our grasps tighten on our cloaks, and we maybe don't want to let go. We don't want to lay down our cloaks to Jesus. Not this Jesus, not the one who's going to free the world by loving until death. Because remember the context, it was a big deal to throw down your cloak. The cloak was really important. Most people only had one for the whole part of their life, unless you were really wealthy and then you had multiple cloaks. It was your housing when you had to sleep by the road. It was your heater on cold desert nights. Deuteronomy actually forbids cloaks to be taken in lawsuits because then you just leave the person without anything. So the act of laying down that valuable piece of clothing, risking its ruin, that it had to be, you know, for, it had to be something really, really important to be able to risk that. Because it meant that the donkey would trample it, right? It would ruin it. It would stain it. It would be like that clothing that you love. Maybe you have a sweater or a sweatshirt or something like that, or something that you really love, and it's like, you're gonna lay that down for a donkey to walk over? Anybody in? No? Thinking about it? It was the same thing for me, and when I graduated high school, I was really excited. You know how you take your cap and you throw it up in the air when you're done to kind of celebrate? And I was thinking about pretty much the whole graduation. I was thinking, you know, okay, if I do that, if I throw my cap up in the air and everyone else does and they're all the same color, how am I going to find my cap? Right? Anybody else think like that, or is that just me? Don't judge me. Okay. So I was thinking, and so then the moment came and they're like, you know, congratulations, class of, I'm not going to tell you what class I graduated in because I don't want you to judge me. Congratulations. And so I kind of like grabbed my cap and I like threw it up kind of like a little bit, and then I caught it and I put it back down. And I'm not sure, you know, I was excited to graduate, believe me. I think a lot of people in my life were pretty excited that I graduated. But looking back, who cares? Did I ever wear my cap again? No. It sat in my closet with my you know, the gown or whatever, you know, I never wore it, and there was never another opportunity to say, "Hey, do you want to put on your graduation cap and gown?" Be like, I was never invited to any party where that was the theme. But in the moment, it was so important. For me, it was so important to, like, not, I can't lose my cap. But looking back at it, it didn't mean anything. It was just not, you know, it was not just a simple choice to lay down for this Messiah to go over. Like I said, this article of clothing, you might not get it back. And so Jesus, laying it down, Jesus would have to be worth it. And not the idea of who he was or could be, but who he actually was. So I want us to slow down this Palm Sunday and ponder on this day. As Jesus is coming, what are we going to lay down? Just like the people in our story today, we must lay our cloaks down before Jesus. We have to lay down our ideas, our thoughts, our understandings. We need to lay down our perceptions of how Jesus is going to bring about freedom and simply be open to the moving of the Spirit. Palm Sunday and the rest of the events into this coming week, they all point to freedom. Probably not the freedom that we see or understand. Probably not as we've planned or we've set out in our minds. But that's why we must lay our perceptions down before Jesus and allow him to kind of change them to his purpose. We must set aside our assumptions, our hopes, our plans for change and give ourselves space to see the Messiah among us. Hopefully when we do that, when we lay down our cloaks, we'll be able to see a glimpse of that promised freedom that Jesus brings. I don't know exactly what that freedom looks like, and I'm sure it looks different for each and every one of us today, but it has to do something with freedom to truly live. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We have a long journey ahead of us before we arrive at the joy of Easter morning. But when we get there, it will be a celebration about life. Now, I don't want to spoil the ending for you, but let me just say, you won't be disappointed with what happens on Easter morning. Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it abundantly. And we're able to be restored to both God and others in our lives. We're free to be who we truly are when we are free to live the life that God has called us to live. I think the question for us this morning is, what's holding us back? What do we need to let go of? What do we need to lay down? What in our life feels more important, more necessary than the freedom that God offers and gives? What are we holding on to that we need to loosen that vice grip in order to have more life? What's stopping us from laying down our cloaks before Jesus? Why are we holding on so tight? Would it be really so bad if we let go? Would it be really so bad if we trusted God enough and trusted ourselves? And if we're able to do that, we're one step closer to experiencing the freedom that will bring us restoration. I can see out the window. Everybody look. Here comes the parade. Careful on 172. He's riding his donkey down 172, down South Britain Road right now. What are we going to lay down? The moment's now. Amen.